Target Circle, the program you know and love now, includes automatic deals.
The all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360, is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
It's 902-1-ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! So, it's us. It's another episode of 902-1-OMG with the J to the T to the S. And it's Christmas time.
Who are you calling ho, ho?
Ho? No. Ho, you ho, and you ho.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the three hoes.
Look. Look, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, gosh.
We're getting a shimmy
She
shake.
Has her 902 and OMG ho, ho, ho shirt on.
That's right.
Our merch, our Christmas merch from last year.
That's cute.
That is a really cute shirt.
Isn't it cute? Mm-hmm. You're on my left nipple and I'm on my right.
Just where I like to be. Mm-hmm. It's the Christmas episode, you guys. I love a good Christmas movie or Christmas TV episode, don't you?
Agreed.
Same. It's always good, no matter what. You give it a wide berth, no matter what it is, because it's the holiday.
Yeah, and it's August, so we're getting excited. Like, I'm starting to feel like fall is coming, and then it'll be Christmas. Before you know it, I got to start prepping.
Oh, gosh. But the fun thing is that Cindy Walsh in this episode talks about it feeling like it's August because it's 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And it's actually August that we're rewatching this episode.
It's a co-winky-dink.
Screw Christmas in July. We got Christmas in August.
Do you guys, are you big into Christmas, Sissany and Tori?
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah.
Your favorite holiday, probably.
Halloween's up there too. But I do like to get into the Christmas spirit early. We got our tree way too early last year and it died before Christmas. And I was really upset about it.
When did you get it? Like, what's the perfect timing to get your tree? Because I always
miss
the mark.
Ours Thanksgiving weekend, or maybe even the week before Thanksgiving.
Everybody,
I
feel like everybody last year got their tree a lot earlier than they normally would, because they're just like, I need something to make me happy.
Something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something to make you smile at home.
We got our tree really early too. And when I say we got our tree, we got it out of the garage. We didn't get a real tree this year, last year.
Same. I conceded and I finally bought into it does. Like if you have a good fake tree, they really do hold up. But so I watched this. Okay, so this episode is not on Hulu or anywhere, right?
Anywhere?
No.
I mean, unless you have the DVD collection like I do.
So, well, yeah, I mean, Crystal didn't send me a DVD collection. She sent you. No hard feelings, Crystal.
I see Crystal all the time at my husband's restaurant.
Oh, that's right. Now, I'm not mad about it because, but there's some DVDs. I mean, there's some episodes that we cannot get. So
why? Like, what was it about this one?
Know. I wonder if our listeners had trouble watching this episode then.
Oh. Yeah, how did they rewatch it? So anyway, iHeart was very nice and got us the whole DVD collection and even sent over a DVD player because we didn't have a DVD player. So I got to watch this on, instead of me watching it as usual, like on my phone, I got to watch it on my TV last night with my DVD player. And it was something, you guys. It looked really, I'm just going to go on a limb here and be like, felt really dated. It felt really old. And my son Finn, who is 9 now, he watched it with me. And the whole fake tree thing, sorry, I'm bringing this back around. The whole fake tree thing, he said, you know what, Mom? I really appreciate a real tree. And I said, why? And he said, because of the smell. There's nothing like the smell of a real tree.
We're really excited for next Christmas, Tori and I, because we have something cooking.
What do you got cooking?
We got things up our sleeves.
Yeah. What do you got cooking, good looking?
Don't you wish we could just announce it to the world?
We can't talk about it yet. It's got to do with Christmas.
Okay.
And maybe Christmas trees.
Are you guys opening up a Christmas tree lot?
Yes. That's it.
So
you guessed it.
It's the Genori Christmas Tree Farm, established in 2021.
Genori.
We are cuckoo for Christmas, and so we have something coming up that is going to be right up our alleys.
What if we just slipped in here and just said it?
Can I guess?
And then we were like, we didn't know we couldn't announce it.
Is it an announcement thing? Like, do we have to put out an announcement? Do I have to send out an official announcement?
Is it something we will watch or something we will buy or something we will?
Both, maybe.
Both, maybe?
Yeah. This is fun. Keep guessing.
Let me just say this. Next Christmas, you will have Jenny and Tori in your home.
In some form.
Mm-hmm. In some form. Mm-hmm.
This Christmas.
Will actually be in your home. Nope. Christmas 2022.
Not we, but like a part of us. Like
not this Christmas, but next Christmas?
Us. Like it's a way to always have us with her.
No, next Christmas.
2022.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Year and some change.
We're really excited. Can you tell? We're a year ahead of the game.
Clearly. maybe too soon to tease at this point.
Okay. We'll stop talking about it.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Fine. We can't get till next year?
I, for some reason, thought it was this Christmas, but
you're
going
to be in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It'll be fun.
But my brain is going like crazy right now.
And then maybe after that Christmas, you can have us in your home year round. Because we know you can't get enough of us. Uh-huh. We know this.
The virtual
She's like terrified. She's so terrified right now.
I have enough of us right now. Let's stop talking about it. We're not talking about it anymore. Sorry.
No.
You told us it was too soon.
Yeah, I don't like this year and a half tease.
All right.
I know. Way to crush our Christmas spirit.
Bah humbug up there.
Yeah. Bah hum, sis.
Well, let's talk about the episode, y'all.
Okay.
Episode 18 of season 2, A Walsh Family Christmas, aired on December 19th, 1991.
Synopsis: Steve arrives in New Mexico to begin his search for his long-lost biological mother, while his adoptive mother, Samantha, worries at home, as does Kelly while the gang prepares for Christmas.
It was directed by our friend Darren Starr and written by Darren Starr, Jessica Klein, and Steve Wasserman. Thank you for this episode. So you're saying you felt that it looked dated, like it was from the olden days.
I did. But it's the first time that I have rewatched it on the big screen.
You think that makes a difference?
I can't believe you've been, this whole time you've been watching on your phone.
Well into the second season, you guys, I've been watching my phone. And I got to tell you, it was a hoot. But this episode, yeah, I did make, but maybe it's because I was watching it with younger kids and I was nervous.
Why are you nervous?
What if they didn't like it? What if they got bored? Because TV back then was a little not as fast paced as it is now.
When they were watching it, did they know that was you? Because sometimes they don't really associate you with Donna. Do they get it?
This is true. Yeah. Liam and Stella, when they were little, I put on a scene from 90210 and they recognized Jenny and not me. This is a true story. So Bo is there, my four-year-old. And when Donna came on the screen, I was like, who's that? And he said, mommy.
Aw, cutie.
I was happy. And Finn said that you and I look the same.
Oh, love that kid. Okay, so this is the episode. It's kind of like, it's kind of a parody or like similar to what movie? Christmas movie with the Santa Claus and the Santa that's like a
it's
bum.
A Wonderful Life?
Yeah. I felt like
is that what it's
going
supposed to be a nod at?
With, yeah. Because Brenda gets a job in, what was the name of that store? Do you remember? Tracy Ross.
Tracy Ross.
Oh my God. I can't believe I just remembered.
Sunset Plaza, you guys.
We actually filmed there.
Yeah.
And she was like a big, that was like a big hot, it was like the hot store to shop at in that time period.
What would you liken it to now? Like if you had to pick something
I don't know.
Now.
I don't go shop Amazon. I don't go shopping. I don't leave my house. Is that weird?
No. Yeah, I'm trying to, I guess you can. It was, because it was a small boutique. It was one store.
Yeah, it was just
but it was
one,
like very famous in LA.
And they
very
sold like
expensive.
Fancy clothes and beautiful jewelry and candles that smelled so good before there was like Diptyque and like, you know, all the candles that are so good now. But I just remember being so happy to be filming in the store. And that's where Brenda gets her first, right? Her first job.
But we got to shop in between scenes, so that was fun.
Yeah. But and then there's also the part where the Walshes, I guess it's just Jim and Brandon, they go shopping for a Christmas tree. So I
thought about you during that
You
scene.
Did? Why?
Because you got a whole lot of Jim Walsh. And he was funny and charming.
Yeah, you got to see his whole body out. Yeah.
Yeah, he was out of the house or out of the office. He was actually like in daylight.
It was nice.
They were funny. I like their chemistry.
Brandon
yeah, and Jim.
They're cute together.
So a lot of people won't know this, but in real life, that's what their chemistry is like.
Yeah.
Like
jokey.
They were always.
They get along really well. This episode, though, is crazy. Well, back to the tree thing. So when you go Christmas shopping for a tree in LA, that's what it's like, you guys. You're sweating while you're looking for a tree.
Have you ever gone and you like want to wear a sweater or flannel or something? Like
you have to go at night if you want that look.
That's true.
But then you can't look at the perfect tree to see if there's holes in it.
I got to be honest, though. I've never seen one like burnt brown. I don't think that exists.
Well, it was like the tree that was left was the tree when it's after Christmas and you have to throw it out. You know, it's all like crinkly.
Yeah, it's like the ones on the sidewalk. Oh, I always feel so bad for those trees. Did you know there's a place, you guys, where you can get a tree, like a planted potted tree, and you can, and they take it back and every year it can grow with your family?
They take it back and like replant it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like they deliver it for you and you can't like get a big tree because you have to start small and then they take it back and every year it grows. I don't know. We had one of those. I don't know what happened to it. It's a nice message though. Have you ever cut down your own tree?
One
time. Of course you have.
No.
No?
No.
Mm-mm. I know what we're doing this Christmas.
Are there places in LA where you can go do that?
Yes.
Where?
There's one. We just went to one last year, which was, it's hell. They literally give you the thing.
An axe? They give you an axe.
It's not an axe.
A chainsaw.
Zzz, 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 They give you the metal ones and it has a handle.
Oh.
They hand it to you and they give you the cart, like the little wheelbarrow, the metal one. And they go, okay, it's across the street. So then you have to cross traffic with it.
With your wheelbarrow and your giant saw?
Yes. And then you saw it down, but no one's there to help you.
What?
And it falls. You have to get it into the cart and then go back across this crowded street. I got to find it. It's somewhere. It's like, it's
in like in Topanga. Oaks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up there.
Huh. The idea is beautiful. The trees are.
And does it last longer because you cut it fresh?
Sure. In your heart. No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Hmm.
It was a good experience. I, of course, Jen will get this. Let Stella do all the work. And I stood there and I sat there and took pictures. It was her idea. She wanted to do the DIY. So I'm like, okay.
You cut it down.
I mean, I posted the picture. She cut it down.
Yeah. Christmas in LA, I can relate to Cindy being like, oh, I miss the snow and the cold and the, because I'm from Illinois. And so Christmas was always really snowy and really cold. And I remember it just doesn't feel the same here.
See, you know, Sis and I grew up here, so we just never knew.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're used to.
It's always been warm, 80 degree Christmas sometimes. Sometimes you'll get like a 65. And you're like, ooh.
On a good year.
Yeah, on a good year.
Did you guys, I'm sure you had this growing up, Tori. I mean, I'd be surprised if you didn't. But did your parents bring in real snow?
Yes. Mm-hmm. When I was 5 years old, they brought in real snow. I mean, now it's kind of a thing, but then it wasn't. So my dad had to research it and go through like movie, like his prop department and find a place that would do it. And they made like a little hill and we built a snowman.
That's so cute.
Yeah. My neighbor did that 1 year. Jennifer Love Hewitt. My neighbor really? Was Jennifer Love Hewitt. And she had snow brought in her yard. This is before she was even a mom. She did it for her mom, I think.
Aw.
Yeah. And we walked down with my little kids and played in her snow.
I love her.
My dog probably peed in it. I don't know. But Steve is still searching for his mom. Steve got off the bus, made a friend. Of course, beautiful girl, and got off a bus and he's in New Mexico looking for his mommy.
I loved the greens they brought in to support the New Mexico vibe.
What do you mean? The cactuses?
Okay, this is jumping ahead, but there's a part where he gets like very discouraged and he can't find his mom and he goes to, he says, take me back to my hotel. And then they show him in a phone booth with lots of cactuses surrounding.
Yeah, because that was probably like right outside the stage door. They just carted in some cactuses and put that behind the phone booths.
But why was he in a phone booth?
Well, they didn't have cell phones.
Why didn't they call for the hotel phone? Instead of buying all those packs of quarters.
Yeah, he went to the bank and got like a whole roll of quarters. And he was using the phone book. It was very dated in that respect. There was a phone booth and a phone book was all very,
Little known fact, the taxi driver that brought him to look for his mom and the address wasn't there, it was just stores, was my dad's hairdresser, his barber.
How did he get that job?
Because he was an actor. He was actually an actor, but opened up his own barbershop. His name was Little Joe. And do you remember Duke Vincent?
Mm-hmm.
So Duke Vincent he's still alive. And apparently Little Joe is still alive and cuts his hair still.
Wow.
They're both in their like 80s. I don't know.
I mean, I can't imagine what Duke Vincent looks like now.
Remember how tan he was?
Because he looked like he was in his 80s when we were.
Oh my God.
I mean, I love, he was so tan. He was like the tannest man I'd ever seen. This is a guy that worked like he was like your dad's right hand man. He was in the production aspect of everything. And he was so tan.
If you look at my dad's shows, it'll say Aaron Spelling and E. Duke Vincent. I don't know what the E stood. I don't remember. But I always remember E. Duke Vincent. And I called him Uncle Duke. And I heard he lives in Santa Barbara still. Go figure.
Well, that would be so fun to see him.
Yeah, now we have to find out what he looks like. I heard he still has a good head of hair. Rebecca, stop. Am I saying her name right? That was Brenda's not so nice, like the manager at the store. Boutique she worked at. I feel like I've seen her in a lot of things, you guys.
She reminded me of the woman who, when Julia Roberts goes shopping in Pretty Woman and she gets turned away.
Did you notice in that scene there was actually a girl that walks by in the background in a white hat, very reminiscent of the Julia Roberts scene with the white hat?
And I missed it, but I love that.
I didn't see that.
Those scenes in that store were very dark.
Yeah, but I thought it still looked good.
Apparently, they have lines waiting outside when the store opens.
Yeah, they're like at the window going, open, open, open. You ever do that?
It used to be a Mervyn's commercial.
Yeah, you did put your hands on the glass. Open, open, open.
You're like, open, open, open.
I don't know where I got that, but I guess it was a Mervyn's commercial.
It was.
So Cindy invites everybody over for Christmas Eve dinner. Everybody says they're not coming, and then everybody ends up going there. Even Donna. Mm-hmm. There's no snow in Mammoth, so Donna has to end up.
Imagine.
Where are your parents? Why didn't your parents come with you?
Well, they hadn't been cast yet. I don't know. It was a lot of guest stars this episode. This was chock full.
Right?
This must have been an expensive episode.
I think it was. And we had good music, like real Christmas music by Bing Crosby and Elvis Presley. Maybe these are all reasons why you can't find this episode.
That makes sense.
And Happy Birthday, which you cannot use now.
You can't sing Happy Birthday now? I thought that's the one song you can sing without paying for it.
I was surprised when they sang Donna Happy Birthday and they said Happy Birthday because there's been, I don't know, have you ever done a movie when they're like, oh, just blow out the candles and say Happy Birthday. You can't sing it. Maybe now you can.
I don't know.
Oh, and now it's now public domain. But was it in 1992? Or one.
Yeah, I never understood that whole public domain thing with songs. Like, there were certain songs that you could use, and there were certain songs that you couldn't use.
I just remember that they used to say, you can buy it, Happy Birthday. This is back in the day, I guess. Now it's fine. But they charged for how many lyrics. Like, so you could be like, Happy Birthday to you, and then, like, stop, because that was all they could afford. Like, do you remember this?
Let's
Someone
see.
Back me up here.
No.
It would cost $5,000 to legally have the Happy Birthday song featured. And this is a movie called Hoop Dreams. So anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000.
Just for a little old song.
How much does it cost to use Happy Birthday in a movie?
I feel like TV movies would always be like, nope.
Yeah.
Cut it.
Definitely not in the TV movie budget world.
No.
You talk about Happy Birthday, but this is the episode where we find out that it is Donna's birthday is December 25th.
Right.
Aww. Isn't that cute?
Poor Donna. No one ever wishes her happy birthday.
Nobody
she never gets presents.
Does.
She never gets parties.
Yeah. I feel bad for people that have their birthday on December 25th. If anybody out there listening has their birthday on December 25th, I'm sorry.
I have a friend whose birthday is December 25th, and they grew up, and his mom was very religious. And would always do a cake, but would always say, Happy Birthday, Jesus and Josh. And he'd be like, I always came second. My mom always put Jesus first.
As she should.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's funny. Poor Jackie. I felt like this was, I would have been really pissed off, too, at Mel. If she'd been dating Mel for six
That's
months
horrible.
And then he shows up at her doorstep with flowers and says, oh, I can't come because my ex-wife, well, my soon-to-be ex-wife, wants me and David to go to her house.
That's not acceptable. I'm sorry. I mean, later, spoiler alert, we'll find out something is very, very wrong mentally with David's mother, but I don't think we know here. And so it just seems like that was not okay.
No, it was not.
But she gets pissed
at hours before.
Yeah, she gets pissed at him, which I appreciated. Yeah. Like, she's like, get out.
And I got to say, I love that solidified the relationship with Kelly and her mom. Like, I loved that moment.
Yeah, Kelly was just as pissed.
And it was almost like you became the mom. And I love the way you were holding her and holding her hair because it was very, it was not something a young girl does. It was very, like, mature and nurturing. And it was a really beautiful moment. I love that moment.
Yeah, Kelly is taking care of her mom again. I think she's used to that. She's good at that.
That's true. And it's kind of ironic because they show you not knowing how to whisk eggs. But in fact, you're an amazing baker and always have been. So I thought that was pretty funny for us that know the baking side of you. And you're so surprised.
I wonder if I whisked them enough in, or that that was like a standby bowl of the actual stiff eggs. Like, because I had the runny eggs in the beginning of the scene and I didn't really whisk anymore. And then all of a sudden they were stiff. Like they were like fluffy.
You're right, Mom.
It worked. It's magic.
You were like blown away. Poor Jackie doesn't know how to cook really. And she was cooking dinner and
she was giving it her best shot.
Yeah, he should have brought more than those flowers.
Brandon goes to see Emily. This is where we see Emily Valentine again. Were you not happy about that, sis?
I was not happy about that.
You didn't want to see her ever again.
No.
Why was he going to see her? Why? I mean, he's trying to be sweet, be nice. But yeah, that's good.
Well, she's committed and locked up, and he figured she's not going to be with anyone. For some reason, you know what drove me crazy? Christine's hair in this episode.
Me too. It was a fresh bleach job. There were no roots. There were no Emily Valentine roots.
I love her roots.
Yeah. It just didn't look right.
And I gotta be honest. No. It didn't look right because it didn't look like her. But also, like, isn't that the last thing she's thinking about?
Yeah, who gets their hair bleached done when they're in rehab?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a patient there because her roots were orange. And I thought it was my TV not seeing it right because I kept seeing splotches.
She had hot roots. Isn't that what you call hot roots when they go orange?
It was hot roots. Oh, man. Mm-mm. That was not a good dye job that she got.
Well, cut her some slack. She's really going through a rough time.
I mean, yeah.
But I just felt like maybe Brandon shouldn't. I felt like he should have just left well enough alone and not gone to see her because now she's probably thinking about him again and might have set her back on her road to recovery.
That's a setback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would have thought that maybe her doctors would have said, probably not a good idea for Brandon Walsh to come here and to give you that twins jersey.
Bringing it all back.
So sentimental.
Right, throwing it right back in her face.
And he threw us all under the bus, included all of our names in there. So when she comes out, she's going to come for all of us.
Wait, does she come back more in the show? She's on more episodes after this one?
Allegedly.
That's her new answer for anything you don't really know. It's allegedly.
Yes, she will. Yes, she will be back. And she's actually going to come back and make your life hell. I'm just going to give you a flash forward. Because maybe you can change things. Maybe you can do a do-over because it hasn't happened yet. She's going to come back and screw you over.
I can't change anything. It was filmed and it's, I don't understand
maybe
that.
Maybe we can. Maybe we can. Maybe we could rewrite the past.
No, you can't do it.
Okay.
But it's so sad. Steve goes all the way to Albuquerque or wherever he goes and Mom's dead. Finds out Mom's dead.
But he finds out he has a grandpa.
Yeah, that was cute.
So that was really his grandpa? Or like his mom's dad?
Biological grandpa, right? Because that was his biological mom's dad.
So she never had more kids, right? Just a husband. Because it said on her gravestone, loving wife to David. Okay.
To David.
Apparently she was married to a guy named David.
David Mulligan. She went from Karen Brown to Karen Brown Mulligan.
I really wanted him to meet his mom, though. I really wanted her to be on the show.
But it's better this way. I feel like he appreciates his
adopted mom.
His mom that raised him.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of closed that void for him, or that chapter that he had been searching for.
And then Brenda brings home the bum, like the Santa bum guy.
That Cindy calls a streetwalker. No, that's the hooker. Wait, a street person.
She calls him a street person?
When in the scene where she's like, he took my engagement ring and trusted him. Brenda brought home. She calls him a street person.
Street person.
Interesting.
I got confused and was like, is she talking about a hooker or a zombie? I don't know. It was streetwalker, street zombie,
you can't
whatever.
Say that anymore. Yeah, you have person. To say an unhoused person.
Is that the right unhoused?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say homeless anymore?
Mm-mm.
Unhoused. That sounds like you're coming unhinged, unhoused.
There needs to be like a an encyclopedia of all the things you really can't say anymore because things have changed so much, you know?
Should we do that next? Sis, that's the surprise. That's what's coming into your home.
2025.
The Jenny Torrey encyclopedia of what you cannot say. And it just, you open it up and just says everything.
One page.
Keen Curtis plays the Santa that Brenda brings home and also plays the pilot that gives Steve the plane ride home from New Mexico.
Oh, wait. I knew they looked alike. It really was the same guy?
Yes.
Oh.
But did they do that symbolically to almost...
It was it Santa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might have been the real Santa.
You guys, it's so hard to watch. Shows do it all the time. Our show did it. Every show does it about Santa Claus. And when you have kids that don't know, there's like, it's really hard because they see these things.
You said there's no Santa?
No, I said that.
No.
You just said there's no Santa.
I believe there's a Santa and I grew up with a Santa. I don't know. I've never seen him. Listen, I don't know if he
exists. I don't believe in
Santa.
That's
what I always say.
I don't believe in him anymore. I'm sorry.
Because he stopped giving you gifts?
No, because I have to do all his damn work every year.
Oh, man. You still do it?
Yes. My kids are old. And I still make them think there's a Santa. And they just go along with it. They're just like.
I know. Because
of course, because they're like, what's the option?
They want to believe.
No, there's not. And then you don't get it anymore. You still want it. Like, you want all that. You're right. Oh, good for you. I'll always do it. But it's like, it's a lot of work.
Because I do all his damn work. You can make a t-shirt out of that.
I do all Santa's damn work.
Well, there is one storyline that we have not addressed yet, mm-hmm. and it has to do with Dylan.
Right. Dylan meets his dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that we actually see Dylan interact with his dad, and his dad is played by Josh Taylor.
Well, we saw him one other time, but it wasn't Josh Taylor.
It was a different actor.
So this is the one that goes on to play 12 episodes in the series. For the
he
next
is
eight
the man
years.
The legend, Jack McKay.
And good news, everybody, we have Josh Taylor on the show today.
So let's take a break.
Yes.
And we'll come back with Josh Taylor.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important. Don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E, metics.com/90210 for 10% off your first order. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s Cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Oh, we all love a good trip to Target. And now it just got better.
Target Circle, the program you know and love, now comes with automatic deals.
It's the free and easy way to get the most deals. Because now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be applied automatically at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Josh.
Hey. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Oh, my God. You look the same.
Well, thank you much.
Handsome devil.
Well, that's a good start. Thank you. You sweet talker.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, we've seen you in so many amazing roles. You were in everybody's favorite soap opera for a long, long time. Days of Our
Still
Lives.
There. Yeah.
Still working
on it. In my opinion, you are the only mm-hmm. Roman Brady. You are. You're right. I'm just saying.
How many years has it been?
Well, since I came on last time, it's been, 24 years since I became Roman Brady. I was Chris Kotchuchuk before that, before the Hogan family and before 90210. So.
What a long run.
Yeah. It's been a good run and a fun one and still is. I don't know about you two, but I still love acting.
So well.
Well, thank you.
You've had such an eclectic career, like so many different iconic characters, but so vastly different.
Yeah, no, I have been really fortunate in that way. I've been able to do a lot of different kinds of characters and been able to do daytime, nighttime, some films and everything. So, yeah, no, I don't know about you two, but I know. Not a day goes by, I don't go, wow, this is cool. I like being in this business.
That's a great attitude to have. That's nice to hear that after all these years, you still love it.
Still a rush.
So when you came on to the Beverly Hills 90210 scene to play Jack McKay, was this the first time that you played kind of like the bad kind of businessman, the bad image?
No, I had done some guest star roles mm-hmm. on TV shows where I had done that. And they were always fun to do. What I liked about Jack McKay was, first of all, working with Luke mm-hmm. was Great. And you. Matter of fact, you and I and Luke worked quite a bit together.
We did.
And then Tori actually directed me, I think, in one of the last shows. So
I did. I got that honor. My only directing thing ever. I got to direct you. So it was an honor. Big fan.
But what I liked about Jack McKay is, first of all, he was a bad guy, but really a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew that. And so I was kind of undercover. I had given state evidence, and I was working undercover with the FBI. And so nobody knew that. And so it was kind of fun being a good bad guy or a bad good guy, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, you got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it was. It was a kick. And then when we did the witness protection thing, that was a trip too, because what was great about that was, first of all, the producers were pretty cool about that. Well, they called me over to, I think their offices were on Wilshire Boulevard or something at that time. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and room full of producers, and I'm going, what the hell's going on? You know? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, they told me, they said, we are going to pull up this car and everyone's going to think you're dead, but we're telling you, you're not. This is witness protection. And then their game plan was to, in another year or two, but mainly the next, I think it was, they were going to get a year passed, and then they were going to bring me back in, and Luke was going to discover me like he did, except I think it was during that time, because I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell Luke. I couldn't tell any of you.
Really?
Yeah, no. They said, you can't tell anybody, because we don't want anybody knowing that and thinking of that. And it was hard because a whole group from the office came out and all that. And then, of course, I kiddingly said, yeah, you guys don't show up for these real serious things, but you see, you come out when I get blown up in a car. But we had some fun with that. And then Luke and I had that fun scene where we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game together, and we had a ball.
You guys were just beautifully cast as a it father was, and son.
We hit it off from the get-go.
You sure did.
And it was, I remember coming on the set the first day. I think I had a late call, and I remember sitting down at lunch, and Luke and I met. And, I mean, we were like, in 2 minutes, we were tight. And we had so many wonderful conversations, you know, dressing room conversations about everything, including the business. But he was a very bright, just very cool guy. As I said, when unfortunately passed, I made the statement. I said, as cool as Dylan McKay was, Luke Perry was even cooler. Mm-hmm. So
that is very true.
But that's what I was looking forward to. And I think that period after they blew up the car, then I think Luke, that was a period where he decided to leave the show for a while.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, I was back on days actually at the time. And that's when they called and wanted to redo that idea, although it wasn't going to obviously last as long, because we were on our last episodes. And I think Tori might have actually directed my last show. So, but I had more fun on that show. And I always have said this, and I've said this to so many people who have asked me about what it was like. And I've said, first of all, it was the nicest group of people. You guys were always great, and you made everybody that came on there feel very welcome, and you were on a phenomenon. I mean, this was a huge, huge hit. You were all pretty young, and you could have spun off, you know, but I just had a great time with everybody, and everybody was wonderful. And like I said, you and I and Luke worked together quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Those were the Kelly Dillon years.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And like I said, and that's one of my favorite memories is Luke and I sing and Take Me Out to the Ball Game on the boat.
I love that.
So interesting just to watch you and hear you right now, even though I've known you from so many things. I'm such a huge Days of Our Lives fan for my whole life.
Cool.
But just to hear you right now, it's still like, it reminds me of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. It was brilliant casting.
Wow. Yeah. That's a great compliment. And somebody at the table that day when we were having lunch and we were hitting it off and we were having fun, we were doing this. And I forget who it was. Somebody at the table said, "You guys look like Father and Son. You even use the same hand movement."
So it was amazing casting.
So that was, I can't say enough about that guy.
I know. Just talking to you, casting, I sort of feel like I have goosebumps because I feel like he's with us right now. Like he's so happy that we're talking.
Yeah, I just got those two.
Yeah.
And he loved you so much. Loved working with you.
And by the way, I still have actually probably a 90210 connection on Days. My makeup artist was on 90210, Karen Dahl. I don't know the number of her.
Oh, she's there with you now?
Yeah, she's I'm not at the show right now. She's my makeup artist, and we talk about 90210.
Yeah, she used to do my makeup.
Yeah, I will tell her that.
Please give her a big hug from me. It's been forever.
I will. She's terrific. She's such a wonderful lady, and she's just a great person. So we have that 90210 connection, don't we?
Do you know Nick Scalacci?
Yeah, Nicky.
So Nick used to do my makeup on 90210.
I'll be darned. Yeah, he was our head makeup guy until about a year ago. And now he's gone. But Nicky, as a matter of fact, his real-life wife, Lauren, is
still on the show with you.
It was my love interest on Days of Our Lives. We've always been
Lauren's like the most beautiful woman ever. And doesn't age a day.
She doesn't. She's amazing.
No.
Yeah.
So our big question, we've asked some other people this. On daytime soaps, I feel like people don't age. Why is that?
Is there something in the water? What's happening?
Josh, it's true.
Well, I think the ones that do have gone.
They get fired. Start looking too old. You're out.
Is that the reason they're like?
But you guys know that you know if you're going to be on and you take pride, if I'm going to be on TV, I better damn well look good.
And, yeah, it's kind of part of your job.
and you got to kind of take pride in that too. That's part of what your character is. And so that's part of who you must be. And besides, I'm kind of I've always loved working out and stuff like that. I've always been an athlete my whole life.
Soap Opera Magazine named you Sexiest Man of the Year. What? When was that? And what was that like?
That was very fun. As a matter of fact, I was on, Dinah Shore had me on her show.
No way.
And asked me about that, and she was fun. Dinah was fun. She was such a flirt. She was really, but she, I mean, in a fun way.
Yeah.
She was really good in that way. But that was a nice title to have. So I didn't reject it.
I don't want to age gracefully, and we're thinking maybe you could talk to Days of Our Lives and put in a good word to maybe, because I feel like even if we guest star Jen, there's something in the water there, like you said. So
we'll look
if we
good
could
forever.
Just come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will tell, and it's you, like you're a huge fan. You follow the show, right? Yeah.
Yes. Huge. He knows I love my soap operas. Sorry.
Well, I I'll put in a word with Kenny. And see
what we can do. Oh, you're going to get a job on Days of Our Lives tour.
Oh, are you kidding me? You just made my day. You have no idea. I'm such a fan.
You know, we just got a spinoff, actually, for the Peacock Network. And it's called Beyond Salem. And they just started that, actually.
Beyond Salem?
Mm-hmm. Pardon? Yeah, it's called Beyond Salem. And so they
What are you doing to me? You're making me all hot and sweaty and excited over here. Oh, I can't take it. When is that starting? Sorry, go on. I'm sorry. Go on.
It actually, I'm not quite sure how it works. Kenny actually talked to me, explained that to me. But they started out with 5 shows, just shot the first 5 2 weeks ago. This all happened within the last couple months.
Who are the spinoff characters? Can you say?
Well, they'll vary. There were quite a few of them that went over and did. They just did 5 shows. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably maybe speaking out of turn here, but at any rate, I mean, they're advertising it and stuff, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to work.
Are you going to be on it?
I'm sure eventually. I wasn't in the first 5, but they were doing different kind of things. Now, I did shoot a script the other day that I got that was from Backerways, and it said supplemental script, one of those. You guys know what those are. And
it was kind of
setting up a couple of the people to go to where they need to be and look to shoot that part of it. So I was connected before and after, and then I think as time goes on, but it's a really neat thing. We're very happy about it.
Wait, what's a supplemental script? I don't know.
A supplemental script, it's obviously when they did the, again, hopefully I'm not talking out of turn.
You're going to get in so much trouble.
Yeah. If you don't see me on
Jenny
the show,
Jenny
and
Tori, break the news.
At any rate, so I forgot where I was at. But
a supplemental script.
Oh, right.
Keep going.
So basically that was because we just found out about the Peacock show, I don't know, a couple months ago, I guess. So basically I had some scenes where I had this scene with Chad and scene with a couple of other people that kind of I could see were setting up them going to Peacock. And
oh my gosh, is Carrie Brady going to be on it? Carrie Brady was always my favorite.
Carrie,
You can't say.
Oh my God.
You can't ask those questions.
This is sending me over the edge. You don't understand.
You guys are going to get me in trouble here. But.
Let's do.
Sorry.
But Carrie, yeah, no, she's great. She, I love working with her, Christy. So we'll see.
We'll see. That's a good answer. Let's leave it at that.
Allegedly, Josh, and everything works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody can blame you.
But that's pretty cool. And we just it got is. A 2-year pickup in
wow.
May, which is nice.
Good
because,
for you.
Really nice.
Yeah, because there was the whole period of time when they were saying the soap operas were dead. They were going to go away completely. Remember? It was like 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Well, it was longer ago than that, actually.
Really?
It was about, they started talking about that, I want to say, at least 10 to 15 years ago, because, wow. You know, time goes by so fast, you kind of forget, but all my children went off and stuff like, and One Life to Live, I believe. And I had, I knew someone who was a kind of a soap expert and knows a lot of the background. And he predicted, he said, I think what will happen is that there will be, we'll lose several shows, but it'll come down to big 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty much right. And it's come down to, you know, there's Y&R and B&B on CBS and then General Hospital on ABC and then us on NBC. So, and I think it's been us four for at one point a few years back, they were thinking GH was going up, and that didn't happen, and they're doing quite well. So I'm thinking maybe that was, it's been only the four of us for at least 6 to 8 years, probably. Mm-hmm.
Days of Our Lives can never go away. Like, honestly, growing up, well, you were like three mindsets. You were either like CBS, ABC, or NBC growing up. And I grew up with my nanny, who was literally like my mom. And she used to say my stories. So every day. Yep. And we were NBC because I learned from her. Like, we watched NBC. So Days of Our Lives was my jam since I literally was like a little girl. So, oh my God.
Yeah, it was another world. And at that time, and as a matter of fact, Ray Liotta and I became very close friends. He was Joey Perini on Another World. I don't know whether you remember that, about that part.
Mm-hmm.
You were barely around. You were very young at that point. But at any rate, Ray played Joey Perini on that show, and they followed us. So I watched Another World. And I went, I like that guy, Joey Perini, you know. And so back when I would do personal appearances around the country, and I was able to do them, they would give me a choice, do it by yourself or pick somebody. And I said, get that guy, Joey Perini, you know, Another World. And so Ray and I became close. He moved out here and lived right down the street.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
So that's, but there was Another World and Days of Our Lives. I think there's a third one.
I know the answer, Josh. So I was born into this world watching soaps. I used to watch The Doctors. Do you remember The Doctors? That was Alec Baldwin's first job.
Yeah, I remember The Doctors, but I never actually saw it. But I do remember when it was on.
I have one last question for you. We have one last question for you. Jack McKay wasn't ever very successful in the marriage department. He wasn't exactly good husband material, but you have been with your wife for a very long time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, she just walked in.
Hi. Oh, bring her on.
Yeah, she's my technical advisor.
Hi. Hey,
she is. Hello.
Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Great to see you. We're just catching up.
Yeah.
Yes. What is the secret for this long lasting marriage?
She puts up with me, I guess.
She laughed. Body, look at your. Yeah,
that's exactly where I was going.
Her physique is amazing.
We do.
Oh my gosh.
We laugh.
Gorgeous couple.
A lot. And that's where I was. Anyway, she makes me laugh, and
we laugh
a lot.
Laugh at
that's the key.
And laugh at each other.
Yeah. Laughter is the key. That's good to know.
Even when you're arguing, you can laugh to break it up. Oh. Lisa came up with a saying one time when you get in an argument, and then she came up with this. It's better if the person who actually caused the argument, and then they'll come in like 10 minutes later and say, "All right. If you apologize now, we can save the rest of the day."
Perfect. That's good advice. I love it. I learned something new today from you. Thank you.
Well, so this is your two. You've got this. How long have you been doing this one?
It's our second season. We're mm-hmm. watching the show back with fans from the very beginning, and we've gone through season one, and now we're in the middle, I guess, of season two.
Yeah.
Cool.
As fans this time, because we've never actually watched every episode back from start to finish, and we're doing it now and appreciating it on a whole different level now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what episode is this for you? Do you know?
This is the Christmas episode, the first episode where you were introduced in the jail.
Oh, how are we doing? Yeah, you know what? I was thinking that when I was coming on, and I was thinking, I thought my first scene was I was in jail.
Yeah.
It was Christmas, I
you
believe.
You looked
great
in orange.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun catching up with you and talking.
Like I said, you ladies were great to me on the show. And like I said, I worked a lot with Jenny, and I love that I was there for your directing debut. Mm.
I know. I'm not sure we ever really got to act together, but.
No, we didn't have much to do. I worked mainly with Luke and Jenny a lot, actually.
Well, I loved every second of it. And I loved every second of talking to you.
And again, talking with you too, it brings back great memories.
Oh, so. Good. Well,
it was so nice big hugs to you.
And Lisa. Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll get to act with you one day. So please, Josh, put in a good word for me with Ken, because it is my favorite show since I was born.
Put in a good word.
Just saying.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
I love it. You know, we all know we got to be a little pushy in this business.
You got to. Yeah. Got to ask. Never hurts to ask.
Never hurts to ask.
There you go.
That's right. Well, it's so great. It's been so much fun talking to you, too. I'm so glad you called and asked me to be part of it.
So happy you're here. Thank you for coming on our show.
All right.
Bye.
See you all later.
You are shameless. You are asking him to get you a job on Young Days of Our Lives.
You have no idea. Like, oh my God. Ugh. Gosh, that and a horror film, you know
soap operas and horror movies. Okay, people.
But not just any soap opera. I know we've had other people on only. And I gave a little lip service and said I'm a big fan. But Days of Our Lives is my jam my whole life. That one, is there's nothing like it. Sorry. Oh, hi, sis.
Hi. That was great.
It was so fun. You know what, though? You guys, I broke out into full body goosebumps. Every part of my body had goosebumps on it. At one point during that conversation with Josh, it's happening again and it's freaking me F out, you guys. I wish you could see all my goosebumps. It's
no, same. I hear you.
I feel like, right? Luke is he's beyond happy that we talked.
That was crazy. It was, if you closed your eyes, you just felt like he was there. Like it was, not even closed your eyes.
Yeah. I mean, they always just had such a really great relationship, like a really strong bond, and he just embodies everything sort of that Luke did.
Oh my gosh. Now, I don't think I've ever had like daddy issues or daddy crushes, but that's a daddy that he's hunky. He's just hunky, you guys.
And such a good guy.
Mm-hmm. How old is he? 77 now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. He is a hunky, charming. Oh my God. Yep.
What a run.
A great career. And he loves it. I love that he was like every day he wakes up thinking, I love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should take a break and come back with some questions from the listeners and fashion.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Oh, we all love a good trip to Target. And now it just got better.
Target Circle, the program you know and love, now comes with automatic deals.
It's the free and easy way to get the most deals. Because now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be applied automatically at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we have a few more things to cover, ladies. Fashion, best lines, and listener questions. What stood out for you? I mean, it was very Christmassy this episode, so.
Yeah, everybody got super dressed up to go to the Walsh
when it
Christmas
comes to the
dinner.
Fashion.
Yeah. I especially appreciated Donna's short shorts at the Christmas party. You had like a cute little romper on, and then you turned around to put the decorations on the tree, and your little tushy was exposed. And I was thinking, oh my God, the dad, Jim Walsh, is looking at your butt right now. That's what I was thinking.
I was actually shocked. I was like, oh my God, this is like a wholesome family mm-hmm. show. And I was like, I'm surprised they didn't say to wardrobe, like, pull down her shorts. But I got to say, you guys, I'm proud because my tushy does not look like that anymore.
It was so cute.
I was like, oh, look at that tush.
Yeah. I'm glad. I was happy to see it.
You know, my favorite look was, I got to be honest, when Kelly went from, she was at home cooking and then she had her whole journey. Mel came and then David came and then you went to the store, Brenda. And I just loved that look.
Really? It was just like a big giant shirt.
And your hair thrown up. It was everything. Okay. So it gave me like flash forwardness of like when flannels were coming in and like oversized. Yeah. But then I realized after I watched it many scenes that it wasn't actually a flannel, right? It was just... I thought it was a red and black flannel. Like, I was super
I
into
so
it. And then at the store, it looked almost a little see-through. Not see-through, but like sheer.
Silky?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I just liked your whole jam because it was so like the anti-Kelly look that I just was into it.
Yeah, your hair being up with all the wispies was definitely a new
look. It was just really good.
It was casual Kelly.
And the cutest thing I got to say was David in the scene with you. And I'm guessing this is a choice. Like, he couldn't. Look at you. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice.
Every line he delivered, he was like looking up and I was like, I feel like he makes eye contact.
Why couldn't he look?
I don't know.
Some people, you know what? I've encountered that a number of times in life, but also on camera acting with someone, they literally don't look you in the eye. And it makes me think, wait, why aren't they, what's wrong with me that they're not looking me in the eye? Like I take it personally. But I don't remember, but I know what you mean. Like a lot of times it's hard to, I don't know why he would not look me in the eye.
Right. So, I mean, Brian grew up on camera. He was on Knott's Landing. Like since he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely like, so an expert at doing scenes one-on-one. So I was like, oh, that's cool. He was so young, but he made a choice that he like one-on-one with Kelly, like, even though the news he was delivering, he still, like, couldn't really look Kelly in the eye. And he was kind of, he knew, like, what was going on wasn't right. Mm. And it was kind of shifty. And I was like, oh, that was a really good choice. Because, yeah, people like that in real life, I used to think they don't, it's me, but then it's not that. It's like there's something, they're either lying. You can't trust people that
it's
don't
never
look
you.
In
the eye. It's always right. The other person.
But I always tell my kids, always look people in the eye. Because if you're telling them something, you're looking over here, something's off.
Yeah, that's a big one for me too. What about lines? Did anybody have a good line from this episode? I wasn't feeling any specific line for once. Usually I'm like,
samesies.
I didn't have anything.
I can't quote the line exactly because I didn't write it down as I watched it. But it's the line where Cindy is sitting and she's talking on the phone and she says something about Christmas, or I didn't know that existed in Beverly Hills, or Christmas isn't a thing in Beverly Hills. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's not natural. Christmas in Beverly Hills isn't natural.
Oh yeah. When she was on the phone and she was talking about it being 90 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like, though, when Kelly said, when she said to Jackie, who died and made you Julia Childs? I thought that was funny.
That was so good. Cause I was like, would Kelly even know who Julia Childs is?
I guess so.
Unless she hadn't touched a spatula in like her whole life or something.
Yeah. I don't think Jackie was a big, chef, not so great in the kitchen. Real good in other rooms of the house, I'm sure.
Well, you guys ready for two questions?
Two. Let's hear them.
Greg is asking, can you describe your typical Beverly Hills 90210 workday from the time you woke up in the morning to the time you went to bed?
Whoa.
What did your day consist of?
Greg wants it all. He wants the whole every moment of the day.
I like this question. I would like to know the answer as well. Gosh.
Do you want to take it?
There were some days, you guys, where we would have to be on set at like 4 or 5 in the morning. Mm. Makeup and hair for how long was it back then?
An hour and a half.
They always gave us 2 hours.
Now we get 2 hours.
Oh yeah, that's it. That's it.
It takes a little more artistry.
Could have been like 45 minutes back
then. It was probably a really short amount of time. Yeah.
So you would get up, like, it was still dark when you got up, and drive to our set in Van Nuys, and we all had our parking spots, and then you would immediately go to makeup and hair trailer, and they would take your breakfast order, and it was usually, what was that place in Van Nuys?
I think 4 and 20 there. Or something.
Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. 4 and 20. Wait, like, is that supposed to be a joke? Like 4:20? Like,
no, it was, the restaurant was called
like Hungry, like
4:20,
eating. I know, but do you think that's maybe why they named it?
I don't know. Yeah, but it was always so weird going into the trailer, and it was still dark outside and cold, and it was always hard to start your early mornings. Everybody that had the earliest call was always like, oh.
4 and 20, Restaurant Grill, Van Nuys. Yeah. Permanently closed.
Grubby food. Oh, it's closed now. It's really
There's
grubby.
Another one in Sherman Oaks, I believe.
It's closed too.
It is? Mm-hmm. Sad.
And those were the days I would order like a stuffed breakfast burrito.
Really?
Yeah, this place looks greasy. Oh.
I think I got off scrambles back in the day. So we would.
Okay, so makeup and hair is done. Call it now 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Usually go get dressed, go to your dressing room or your trailer, depending on if we were at stage or on location, and put on the clothes. Then all of a sudden you are transformed into the world. And then you wait.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we would do like a rehearsal. So like in the middle of makeup and hair. Oh. This always sucked because the boys were so cute.
They did, yeah.
And they would call us into rehearsal when we would have like hair like in curlers or something. Yeah. Or like
half your makeup done. You look ridiculous.
It looked ridiculous. And you'd be like, oh, my God, no. And I remember I'd be like, 5 more seconds. I'd tell my makeup artist, like, please just put on lips or something. So I have lips when I go on, like, to rehearsal.
Yeah. Then we would rehearse and block the scene. And then we would go back to our trailer or dressing room. And the crew would do their magic with the lighting and all the background extras and everything. And we would just kind of hang out. That, I mean, so much of acting is waiting.
Like hours.
Yeah, waiting for the lights to be ready because it takes a long time.
What would you do to pass time?
I don't remember having a TV. Like, I think if we had a TV, it didn't get any channels. Like, there was no reception.
You're right.
Yeah.
They didn't get channels, but they got the, we could get those TVs that you could put the VHS tapes in.
But who had a VHS tape on hand? So
I don't know.
I listened to a lot of music in my dressing room. I remember that.
We had a phone. You could like talk on the phone.
You study your lines, like, you know, get your lines down so that when you did go back out, you were ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And eat.
And then like all the guys would talk and like they'd hang in, like there was like, so the dressing rooms kind of went like here, here, and then a back area. Remember eventually they got like an arcade game back there. Remember that?
For the guys. Yeah.
Like that wasn't our area. Like they would all go back there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was really big into eBay and I had a computer. What kind of computers were back then?
You had like a laptop?
Remember, but were there even laptops? And I was obsessed with Beanie Babies and I used to go on eBay. And I remember I'd be like, oh my God, like the auction's running out. There were like 2 more seconds to bid and you had to outbid someone. And they'd be like, ready. And I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to lose the snake. The Princess Diana bear will not be mine. Damn it.
So funny.
Tori wouldn't come out of her trailer until she got that Beanie Baby.
Where are those Beanie Babies now?
In my closet.
No, you do not.
We just were, I'm bringing this up right now because I just remember because my kids pulled them down out of Ziploc bags and my daughter is on eBay and she's like, Mom, do you know that that bear is worth $250,000?
What?
Like, if you Google, like, you guys, they're crazy. Like Princess Diana, like bear, mine all have like clips and I used to have a notebook.
You better put that in like a safe.
They're not worth anything. They say online that they're worth it. Oh. But like, I don't know.
What, have you tried?
Try selling it. This could be the answer to all your problems.
Imagine.
Oh my God. The Beanie Babies save your life. I'm so excited right now for you.
I think they're worth money. I was just about to say before you said that all of that's worth money.
It's a hoax, you guys. Okay, it might be listed. Maybe someone's listing it for that, but is someone really buying it? And what are they doing with it? What are they going to do with a Beanie Baby from 1991?
Collectors. People love that stuff.
Okay, well, I have like a really rare one. It's like the Garcia Bear and it's like tie-dye. I think it's worth like $5.2 million. So if that's really true, then bye, you guys. It's been fun. I'm going to go retire.
Let's get back to Greg's question.
Sorry.
They say, okay, we're ready. So they bring in first team, which was the actors. They would bring us in and we would do our scenes and then we would have to wait longer. The camera would have to shoot it one way and then we go and wait some more. And then the cameras and the lights would all have to shift and turn around on the other person in the scene and we'd wait some more. So that's just what you did all day was wait and eat and shoot the like talk and hang out. So it was a pretty fun job, you know, for the most part.
And we were young, so we didn't mind the hours. But like, seriously, sometimes you guys, you would work like 17 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would get home and it'd be dark and it was dark when you left in the morning and you get home and you were exhausted and you go to bed and wake up and do it again. We loved every second of it.
Next question, Alyssa. Out of all the parents of Beverly Hills 90210, who would you want to be your real parents? Who would you hate to have as your parents?
I would want Jim and Cindy to be my parents because...
Yeah, I think everyone did.
There was always food made in the kitchen. And there were some solid boundaries. You knew the rules. You didn't have to, you know, you knew to stay in your lane.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I was thinking more like if I had to be like who played those characters. Like for me, it was Felicia Martin who played. My mom was Catherine. I loved her. Like she was really there for me for a lot of times when I felt like I didn't have like a parental figure
she
to
was
really
rad.
Talk to.
Yeah.
She was rad. Cool. But not as Felice. I called her Felicia. Felice. Oh, my God. Felice Martin. Felice. Not as Felice. She
in
was
real life.
An asshole.
Yeah.
In real life. I guess I'd have to go with you. Yeah. The Walshes.
Now, who would you have not wanted as real parents?
Dylan's parents. Dylan's mom. I wouldn't have wanted Dylan's mom.
Who would I not want? Felice Martin, my mom.
Yeah. Too strict.
Too. Yeah. Oh,
Well, that's it. That's all we got to talk about for the I just, you know, this episode really made me warm and fuzzy, like Jim Walsh's forearms.
You're going to say chest.
Nope. I got a good gander at his forearms in this episode when he was passing the food around the table. And they were hairy. I liked it.
Bet you did.
So that's it. So what's our next, our homework for next week is what we have to look forward to.
Season 2, episode 19, Fire and Ice.
Ooh, sounds dangerous. Ooh.
It does. I can't wait to watch it.
I love it. All right, y'all. Have a good week.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity. And the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.